Welcome to another City Coast Church podcast. For more information, please visit our website at www.citycoastchurch.com.au.
Hey, you can all be seated. I forgot to do that last time I preached, so you may be seated. Wow, it's good to be with all of you this morning. Woo! Better together. What a series it's been. Hey, it's been a great series. We've had Pastor Adam and Pastor Joey preach some amazing messages to each of us over the last 2 weeks. And can we thank them just this morning for the amazing messages that they always bring? Week in, week out. I don't know how they do it. I've had, months gap in between my last preach and this. It's so good. But Better Together is probably one of my favorite series we could ever do in this church because I love conversations about unity. I love conversations about the body of Christ coming together. We learned last week that we don't want to do life lonely. It's better together. And if there's something that I can get across to you right at the start of the message, is that the devil is not afraid of a big church. Confusing. What? Don't we want to fill the church? Don't we want to have multiple services? Don't we want to expand all that stuff? Absolutely. But the devil is not afraid of these seats being filled with people that are just doing life as individuals. What the devil's afraid of is a united church. The devil is afraid of a united church, a body of Christ. He's afraid of sons and daughters that know their identity in God. They know that their God has power over all things. He's the God that set the captives free. He's the God that sent his son to die for you and me. The devil is afraid of a church that can stand in authority and power in the name of Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So I love Better Together because we refine and we sharpen each other to grow into that process. So look, for this morning, I've gone to the liberty of curating a list of things that I think are better together. And they're going to be chucked up on the screen. Let's chuck the first one up on the screen. Bacon and eggs. Yeah, bacon and egg lovers. Yeah, come on. Give me a big breakfast any morning. I love it. Let's go to the next one. This is Sam and Frodo. Any Lord of the Rings people here? Yeah? Better together. Could you imagine the journey without them? I was going to do Gollum and the Ring, but I didn't want to put a creepy picture up of Gollum. That would have been a bit creepy. Let's go to the next picture. Scooby-Doo and Shaggy? Right? Alone, they're pretty cool characters, but you put them together in an episode and you get some laughs, you have a bit of fun, you get a Scooby snack chucked at Scooby-Doo. It's great. Let's go to the next one. Hey. Amen, right? Amen. See, a snag cooked at a barbie at the beach. Yeah, it's cool. Thanks for the free snag. A snag cooked at the park. Awesome. But when you put a snag at Bunnings, it's like heaven touches earth like a sloppy wet kiss. There's something amazing. There's an anointing over it and the taste is just chef's kiss. A Bunnings snag, better together. Let's go to the next one. SpongeBob and Patrick? Yeah? If you're a parent, you might be sick of this stuff. I don't know Bluey well enough, so I couldn't appeal to the Bluey supporters. I'm sorry. One day I'll have kids and I'll be able to get into that world, maybe. Jono was watching Bluey before he had kids, okay? Let's chuck the next one up on the screen. This is a personal favorite. I call this piece of art KFC and me. Better together. A hangry Josh is not a happy Josh. It is not a good Josh. But if you want to fill my stomach with joy, some fried chicken, happy days. I was excited during that meal. That was good. Oh, it was great. Don't chuck the next one up yet. Not yet. Hang on a second. Forget that was in your heads. This is my litmus test to see if we're a Holy Spirit-filled church. Chuck it up on the screen. Pineapple on pizza. Yep. Amen. Amen. Can I just get a show of hands if you're a pineapple on pizza lover? Hawaiian pizza? Oh. The Lord is in this place. Holy Spirit is here. If you are not a pineapple on pizza lover, I'm going to ask you to come to the front. This message is just for you. You guys can go to the cafe, have a coffee, enjoy. You're saved. You've got the blood of Christ. You're good. Pineapple on pizza. I'm going to change up the tone, though. We can take the pictures off now. How about this? The body and the blood of Christ. Our communion emblems. Better together. How about an empty tomb and a risen Savior? Better together. Come on. How about an open heart and acceptance of salvation? Better together. How about this? You and I and the house of the Lord praising and worshiping our good God. Better together. Come on. And this last one. Iron and iron. We read in Scripture, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. My title for this morning's message, if you're a pineapple on pizza loving human being and you're taking notes, is Am I Iron Deficient? Whoa. Am I Iron Deficient? You like that play on words? Am I Iron Deficient? Hey, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Let's pray for this morning. Lord God, we thank you for the fun that we've been able to have all together already. God, we thank you that we've been able to worship you, have an exciting time praising you. God, we thank you that these things are not just better together as sons and daughters, but it's better together with you, Father. And so I ask that you would help me in this moment, that these words would come out, be your words, Father, that your Holy Spirit be over it, and it'd be like honey, but also be like a double-edged sword where it needs to be. Oh God, I thank you that you are here this morning. We welcome you. Come into our hearts. Have your way. And Father, I just thank you that by the end of this service, everybody will be a pineapple on pizza loving person. In Jesus' name we all say, amen. Amen. Hey, so I've got a question for all of you to kick off this message. And this question is, if you think about your close friends, your close relationships, are they relationships that sharpen your life or make you dull? Think about that. Think about the people that you spend the most time with on your day to day. Are they relationships that sharpen your life or make you more dull? But then in life, there's also a thing called ownership. So this morning, I'm going to be flipping the script a bit and also saying, how about when you look at yourself? Are you a person that sharpens other people around you, or do you make people dull? See, am I iron deficient? If you are this kind of iron deficient, its symptoms will most likely look like you're beginning to have a headache of a life, the future's starting to look pretty pale, you might have some lethargy, some lack of zeal and energy towards the things of God, you may have a shortness of breath of life, and most commonly, a lack of people that push you to be better and believe the best for you. See, there's a saying that there's a chance that we've all heard. If you haven't, now's a chance. It's a saying that you are the sum of the five people around you. Other ways you may have heard it is, show me your five closest friends and I'll show you your future. As true and as meaningful as this saying is, there's actually research conducted over 30 years that makes this saying go even deeper. I'm going to read it out to you just quickly. There was a study on obesity over a 30-year period that found if a friend of yours becomes obese, you yourself are 45% more likely than chance to gain weight over the next 2 to 4 years. More surprisingly, however, it goes further. And the researchers found that if a friend of your friend, so not just a friend of your friend becomes obese, your likelihood of gaining weight increases by about 20%. Even if you don't know that friend of a friend. However, this effect continues even further. If a friend of a friend of your friend becomes obese, you are still 10% more likely than a random chance to gain weight as well. This research was conducted and later also found the same effect was over smoking and a really cool one, happiness. This demonstrates that the way we treat others not just has an impact over the lives of my close friends, my five people, but it has an impact on my friends' friends and has an impact on the friends of my friends of my friends, even if I don't know them. But the same happens in reverse for yours and my life. We need to be careful with the people that we choose to spend the most time with. And I need to clarify, I'm not saying don't have friends that aren't doing too well. I'm saying the people that you spend the most time with in your life. But we need to be careful in who we choose to spend the most time with, because their friends' friends and their friends all have an impact in shaping who we become. And so it's important that we find ourselves either choosing friends that are going to have a sharpening effect over our life, or a dulling effect over our life. Here's the thing that I'll drop on all of you. Some of the problems that you are facing are because of the people that you're embracing. Have a think of that. Some of the problems that you're facing are because of the people that you're embracing. It's important who we choose to embrace, which brings us to iron and iron. Here I have some awesome tools. This is not my axe. This is actually my mum's axe. I don't know what's legal over live stream, but it's kept in a place where she can utilize it if it's needed. Catch the drift of that. I've got this axe. This is called a sharpening stone, a sharpening tool. It's used to sharpen axes. As Christians, we're called to be iron sharpening iron. So one person sharpens another like iron and iron. And for an example of how iron sharpens iron, what it looks like in our friendships, our close relationships, but vice versa, is someone speaking into our life going, you know, hey, I'm here to pray for you. I know you're going through it hard, but I'm here to pray for you. How are you doing today? Hey, you know that thing that you're doing? Maybe it's not the best thing to do. Maybe there's another way to do it. Hey, I know you're struggling a bit. Can I come beside you in your life? And as we find people like this, it starts to create a sharpening process. And what was maybe dull or not as sharp suddenly starts to become sharper. However, I have this stuff here called silly slime. This represents the friendships and the relationships that we spend a bit too much time with that have a dulling effect over our lives. See, what this looks like when we spend too much time with people who dull us, it looks like this. Hey, do whatever you want to do. Do what makes you feel good. You don't feel like doing it now? Do it later. You don't feel like going to church? Don't worry about it. Don't need to go to church to be Christian anyways. Don't feel like reading your Bible? That's all good. I haven't read mine for the last month. You want to take that substance? Go take it. Do whatever you feel like. We want to gossip? Let's gossip. Let's lie about some things. Maybe let's steal something. It creates this big effect, and what we find is this axe that was once sharpened and should cut through and make an impact, if I just keep hitting my hand, it does absolutely nothing. When we spend our time with the wrong kinds of people, it creates a dulling effect that stops us from having an impact in the way that God had created us and called each and every one of us for us to live. We were created and called to be a light in a city on a hill. We were called to be a light and make an impact over people's lives, not have a lampshade over our life. And the thing is, when we hang out with this kind of people and then we leave them, is you try to take it off and I've gotten rid of most of it, but it's still left. It's still left a mess. It still had an impact over my life. It still created a mess that needs to be cleaned. But my goodness, thank you for the blood of Christ that washes us clean, that makes us whole, that takes away any mess that's been over our lives. And luckily we have a God that says, I take what the enemy meant for evil and I turn it for good. And he washes us clean and he makes us new. In our image, or in his image. We were called to be like that. See, what I have this morning is I want to share a story with you guys in the Bible that I think really examples iron sharpens iron. And you may not have thought of this story in this way. So if you have your Bible here, I'd love it if you could turn to Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 26 with me. And if you don't have a Bible, it'll be up on the screen. Luke chapter 5, verse 17, we're starting. And it says, one day Jesus was teaching and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They'd come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friends, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew that they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. City Coast Church, this morning I have 3 points to bring to each of you, but each of these 3 points are made up of 2 questions. Like I did at the start, it's a question to reflect on the people around you, but also who you are to other people. And so point one for my first question to each of you is, are friends around you the kind of people who will pray and believe for miracles in your life? Then the ownership question is, do you have faith to pray and believe the best for your friends' lives? So we read in Luke chapter 5, verse 20 in that story that when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. And we saw that man get healed. And Jesus said, get up, take your mat, walk, go home. It was the faith of the man's friends that saw his sins forgiven and led them to Jesus so that he could be healed. I wonder, are we the type of Christians willing to do that for our close friends and relationships? Now, it might be easy to sit here and say yes, but let's get to the iron sharpens iron point of this, the hardness, the friction. Are we the kind of person that's willing to pray, well, to believe for healing over people? If I'm the person walking in here with the walking stick, am I willing to pray and believe that God can heal my friend that's also in the same condition, even though he hasn't done the same for me? Iron sharpens iron. Am I willing to believe that God can provide, he can do all things? And so my friend's life that's struggling with finances, it's struggling with money, even though God hasn't done the same for me, am I willing to pray and believe that God is a provider and he can provide in their situation, even if he hasn't answered my prayers? Over my marriage, over my relationship, if I haven't seen it work out and God hasn't turned up in the way that I've asked him to, am I willing to be the kind of person that prays and believes in faith for a miracle to happen over my friends' relationships? Iron sharpens iron. Am I iron deficient? A yes to all of those statements would say that, man, you're strong iron. But a no would be to say that maybe there's some sharpening that we need to have. And we get that together. We read in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 to 21, for truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Are we Christians that are willing to be iron, irrelevant of what's going on and what's been unanswered in our lives? But then do we need to consider, are there friendships and relationships that we might be spending a bit too much time with that we need to change so that we can have that for our lives? Because we each need people together praying and believing for the best in our lives, praying for a miracle, praying for breakthrough, praying for freedom. We each need that in our lives. Point number two. Are your friends the kind of people who lift you up, carry you, and take you to another level? Then the ownership question. Are you the kind of person who uplifts, champions, and takes your friends to another level? Are we the kind of people that pushes others away? In Luke chapter 5, verse 18 to 19, it says, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles. Other translations say that they made a hole in the roof. They lowered him into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. I wonder, are we people that uplift? Are we people that speak well of others, irrelevant of what they've done to us? Are we people that encourage the people around you? Hey, I wonder for our church family that we say we're better together with. I wonder about our church where the little things like painted walls and all that kind of stuff. Are we willing to be people that uplift and encourage and speak well of our church and our church family? Or do we find that too often our words start to get negative or to the gossip side and just are not healthy? Iron sharpens iron, or we can have a dulling effect in our life. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 11 further backs this and says, therefore encourage one another, build one another up just as you were doing. I'll be honest, it requires effort to do that. It requires effort, man. Some people can get under my skin. Some people can be a little bit annoying and frustrating, and you're just like, get away from my face. I got nothing good to say to you. Stay away from me. You're my brother or sister in Christ, but not right now in this moment. Jesus loves you. I don't know about me. But don't laugh at me like I'm the only one that said that. Rightio. Pineapple on pizza loving Christians, and you're better than me. Okay. That's how it is. I'll put my hand up for salvation at the end in that case. But it requires effort to control our tongue. It requires effort to go up to someone and uplift them. It requires effort to be by someone's side, even if they're going through a really hard time, and carry them to the rooftops. It takes effort to move people through the crowd and draw people closer to God. And this effort gets sweaty. It's not easy, but there is an effort needed for every relationship and friendship to begin and to succeed. A friendship cannot pop out of nowhere. It takes a conversation. Here's the thing. Like, I've got this sharpening stone, like I showed each of you, that's meant to sharpen this axe. And this is an amazing product. It sharpens the axe. That's what it's created to do. Here's an axe. It's created to chop wood. They're great individually. They do their purpose. However, well, they are their purpose, but they cannot do their purpose separate. If I take this axe over here and just start chopping wood and forget about that sharpening stone, eventually this axe is going to become dull and blunt, and it's not going to be effective to chop through the wood. It's not going to be effective to do what it was called to do. So it takes an intention and it takes an effort. And then it takes an effort to come together and sharpen. I can't sharpen this axe just by, you know, say hi. That should be good enough to become friends. Maybe I'll see him a month's time, might say hi again. Bestie, hi. That's not good enough to sharpen it. It takes force. It takes friction. It takes going up against. It takes intention, coming together frequently. If an axe chopper wants to sharpen their axe, they're not just going to do one thing and I'm done. But they need to come together again and again and again to become sharper. And that's what we do better together. We come together and refine each other in the process and bring people closer to God. Amen? Yeah. We need to be people who uplift and take others to new levels. And this requires us to be around others intentionally. Just like the effort the friends went through for the paralytic man, we're called to do the same thing. So we see in the Bible a multitude of blessings are shown to have effort before the people step into the promise that God has called for them. We see with Noah and the ark, approximately 50 to 75 years for him to build, apparently. That's a lot of effort, man, to build an ark. 50 to 75 years of your life spent building this ark. But what happened at the end? He and his family survived the great flood. Effort before the blessing. We see Joshua and the walls of Jericho. That was a week of that commandment of walk around those walls. And on the seventh day, walk around it seven times and shout at the top of your lungs. That was an effort. But when they went through that effort, they saw the walls come tumbling down of the enemy. The enemy was defeated and they took the ground where the enemy stood. There is an effort that needs to precede the blessing so we can step into the blessing as the character that God has called us to be. It takes effort to uplift, and it takes effort to take others to another level. Yeah. Point three, are your friends the kind of people who would draw you closer to Jesus? Are you the kind of person that draws people closer to Jesus? Kind of like this silly slime. Are we the kind of person that's just like full of silly conversations and silly things to say, or is there some substance to what we have to say? Is there a sharpening that we provide when other people are around us? And is there a sharpening that other people provide when we're around them? And when we talk sharpening, I mean, do we bring people closer to God? Do we bring people closer to Jesus? The whole point of what we're meant to be doing. So it says, when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 12, a well-known passage. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. To truly be better together, to be iron that sharpens iron, we need to be people that lead people closer to Jesus, not the other way. We need to be a people that has friendships that lead us closer to Jesus, not away from him. See, we see in the story of the paralytic man, he could have chosen other friends who were crippled. He could have chosen other friends that were in the exact same state to be the main people around him. He could have chosen that and it would have been super easy. They could have all complained together about how hard life is being paralytic, how hard it is to not be able to go anywhere and have to rely on the rest of the world. But instead, he had people around him who were able to walk. And that would not have been easy. Come on, to have friends that can just walk away at any moment. That would have been scary and that would have been hard. It's too easy to choose people that we can complain with, that we can gossip with and get up to sinful things with. But it's not easy to choose people who say to you, hey, that's not the right way to speak, man. Hey, there's a better way that we can do that. Hey, we don't need to take that substance to enjoy ourselves. Hey, we don't need to compromise on going to church on Sunday. Let's go praise the Lord together. Hey, let's read that word together. Hey, let's pray together. It's too easy and it's too comfortable to have people in our lives that just sympathize with our every moment. And what we see is comfort is the greatest enemy to our growth. Comfort is the greatest enemy to your life being something better and something different. And comfort will kill your calling. Comfort will kill your calling and you'll never be able to grow, refine and be sharpened and to the son and daughter of Christ that he's called you to be. See, there are people who are keeping you comfortable and killing you slowly. If the paralytic man had only people around him who were also in the same condition, he would just complain, hate on life, and slowly die in the same state. But the people who challenges us, the people who are around us to refine us, they're the ones that actually truly love us. They're the ones who truly want the best for you. The ones that challenge you, who may irritate you by their challenges, They're the ones that love you, and they're the ones who wants to sharpen you and push you closer and draw you closer to Jesus in every season. In every season, those are the people that we need. I'm a worship pastor, so this next bit, I'm just going to grab a guitar because I need a guitar for this. Well, when I first picked up a guitar many years ago to start learning, in the process, I just first learnt one chord. I just went to learn one chord. That was all I got introduced to. That was all I knew. So I went through a process of my fingers stretching. It hurt. It was hard. I had to memorize. I got calluses on my fingers. It wasn't that easy. But eventually, the more I put in time intentionally and practiced, I went through the hardships, I went through the refining process of it, I eventually learned my first chord on the guitar. I eventually got a sound out of it, and the sound that it was called to resonate, I was able to produce. And that sound, that effort, that kind of relates to our walk of becoming iron. I didn't learn the chord without going through hardships. I didn't learn the chord without having to put in an intentional time. But to become iron, we've got to be intentional. We've got to put time aside to do that. Yeah. Much like our relationships, this represents it the same. There's going to be some hardships. There's going to be some vulnerability to develop a close, deep relationship with people. We've got to put in intentional time to develop relationship with other people. But when we do, when we put in that time, it eventually pays off. And we end up getting this sound that sounds good. I remember I learned my first chord and I was excited. So I got my dad to come into the room. I was like, "Dad, check out this. I know how to play a song." I knew how to play one chord. I didn't know how to play a song. So I was like, "Dad, check this out." Sorry if this sounds violent over the guitar in the next second. So he came into the room and I played for him. And literally all I did was this. And I was super proud. I was like... And I had the biggest smile on my face. I was excited, like, "This is a song. Isn't it the greatest thing you've ever heard?" It was a chord. But I remember doing that, and fortunately I was blessed with great parents, and my mum and dad were very much iron for my life, just like each of your parents are called to be iron for your children's lives. And they refined, they sharpened me, and they invested and bought me some guitar books. I got these guitar books, I look through the pages and I'm like, "Holy flip, there's so many chords to learn. What the heck? I thought it was just this one and that's what you do to sing." But anyways, I later heard that there's four chords you can learn that lets you play pretty much every song on the radio. So that was my plan. I went to learn these four chords because if I can sing to that girl in high school, I'll definitely get her to be my girlfriend. So I started going through the process. I worked on it, and after some time, some calluses, I eventually got my second chord. Then I went through the process and did it again, and I got my third chord. And then I went through the process and learnt the fourth chord. And all of a sudden, I had all these new chords to utilize. And I had what was the foundation for a song. See, alone these chords were great. They did their job. But when I put them together, I had the foundation for a song. Much like you and I, we have a purpose to fulfill alone that the person next to you can't fulfill. But especially when we come together as united body in Christ, exempling Jesus in every area of our lives, there's something big, there's something beautiful, there's a song that comes out of that. But there's more. See, these four chords, they can teach any lesson. They can tell any story. They can lead a person anywhere. Just like you and I can. We can gang up on a person, tell them whatever we want and try and make them believe it. But when we start to pair our lives, which are better together, with the Word of God, which is the truth, which is the way, the truth, and the life, when we put God as the center of our lives, His Word, His Bible, the truth that sets us free, all of a sudden we pair that better together and we start to have words that come into this song. And we have words that start to declare of His greatness. We have words that start to declare of His goodness. We have words that declare that He's more powerful, He's more mighty, He's greater than all things, that He's the one who sets the captives free. He's the one who set you and I free and washed away our sins. But that can only happen if we pair it with the Word of God. When we pair our lives with the Word of God and input His truth into our lives, all we have is something called better together and best with Christ. And we begin to sing a song to the city that's consistent in a united way that declares of His love and grace, of His power, His kindness, and His goodness. That way when people meet us out in the streets, they go, "Man, I've met someone else like you. What is that thing about you?" "Oh, it's Jesus." "Yeah, I've met other people like that. Yeah, they example that. They showed me kindness and a love that I've never met. They've shown me a generosity that I've never understood. Jesus, we're better together." So together with Christ as the center, we make an impact that sees a city saved. Together with the Word of God as our foundation, in our declaration, we go from individually trying to do this walk to now thriving in this walk in all areas. Just like Jesus traveled, making an impact with 12 disciples, and then when he sent them out in pairs with His authority. Together, we best declare how great our God is, and suddenly an individual chord becomes a refined song of His greatness. Suddenly an individual chord comes together with other people, with the Word of God, and declares of His goodness. That says, if you're a captive, I know someone who can set you free. I believe that if there is something that's trying to overpower you, I know that there's a God that's more powerful than anything else. That there's this thing that's greater, that's stronger, that's mightier, that He can provide in any situation. That He's good and that He's great. And suddenly we have this song that declares, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. And it sounds better together. It does. Can we sing that again? How great is our God. And sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Come on, just one more time, every voice. Can we sing that out? How great is our God. Come on. And sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. So that came because we came better together. Not as individuals, but that came better together and united with the Word of God and the truth that we know that sets us free. Yes. City Coast Church, can you imagine what would happen in our lives? Our families' lives, our community's lives, and most importantly, our relationship with God, if we all chose to become iron and make sure that our closest circle of people in our lives were iron as well. Imagine how thriving and intimate our relationships with God would be. Imagine how healthy different areas of our lives would be. Imagine what our marriages would look like, our relationships would look like. Imagine what our schools would look like. Can you imagine what the mental health landscape of all the teenagers in this city would look like if they knew that we were better together, that they weren't walking alone, but there is a God that's there for them, and there is a body of Christ that is there to refine them, carry them along the way, and help them in the journey? What an impact we could be, City Coast Church, if we were to become iron, to pray and to seek to be more like iron, as we pray to see and believe Bundaberg for Christ. Can you imagine that? Band, you guys can come up. Just quickly, there's a word that I want to introduce you to as we're about to finish. It's a Greek word called koinonia. This word means intimate spiritual communion and participative sharing in common religious commitment and spiritual community. This word means to commune, to participate, to share in time with both God and people. We can't do koinonia without people, and we especially can't do it without God. Whether a new believer seeking to understand what it means to follow Jesus or a seasoned Christian seeking to deepen your relationship with God, it's a necessity that we become more like iron, and we do it by spending time with him in the secret place. We do it by intentionally worshiping, praising him and giving him all the glory. We do it by developing a prayer life where we speak and listen to his voice. We do it by reading the word and learning about Jesus and how perfect his love is. We do it by going against how we feel and making choices that we know are in line with the Spirit and the Word of God. But to koinonia, we also need people. See, without people, we can't talk about the Word of God. We can't refine our perspective. Without people, we can't practice the things that we are learning, and we can't walk it out in our everyday and example it to others and see their lives change. We need people. We're better together. We can't do better together without people, and especially without God. If we haven't worked to become our whole selves and our identity as sons and daughters, all we are going to do is end up hurting other people in the relationship. So, City Coast Church, to start becoming whole, to become more like iron, it first requires us to start walking in the life that God has created you and I to live in. This takes the greatest decision of change that you could ever make. It takes the most exciting, the most incredible decision that you could ever make. And this decision is to accept Jesus into your heart. It's to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's to say, man, I don't want to keep living the way that I'm living. God, I want you to come into my life and have your way. I want you to lead me, Father. But when we make this decision, we enter into the body of Christ. And all these people around you, they become your brothers and sisters. You get to become better together. And so what I'd love to do with every head bowed and every eye closed is I'd love to give people in here the opportunity and on the live stream the opportunity that if you've never accepted Jesus into your life, and maybe you need to recommit your life to Jesus and say, I need to start becoming like iron. God, I want you in my life. I ask you to lead me. I ask you to have your way. If that's you, on the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hands, to be bold, if there's a stirring and a prompting in your heart. So if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, so on the count of three, just raise your hand. And one, two, three. If that's you, I see that hand. I see that hand. See that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Come on. Come on. If that's you and you want to accept Jesus into your life as Lord and Savior, just give you another moment, another opportunity. If that's you, would you just be bold? Would you raise your hand if you want to accept him as Lord and Savior? Come on. That's so good. I see those hands. Thank you. What an exciting decision. Come on, can we make some noise? Welcome to the body of Christ. Joining other believers with sons and daughters around you. And if that was you, if that was you on the live stream, I'd love you to join me and just repeat this prayer after me, and we're all going to say it together. So would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Dear Lord, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to lead my path. I ask you to have your way. I ask you to make me more like iron. I want to live and be like you, Jesus. I don't want to walk alone. I want to walk every step with you. So come into my heart. Make your home in my life. And I can't wait to live life with you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we all say, amen. Amen. Come on, we make some noise one more time. Hey, if that was you and you made that decision on the live stream, let us know. But if you're in the building, can I encourage you, come down to the hub. after this service, come to the Hub. We want to meet you. We want to get to know you. But as iron sharpens iron, there has to be an intentional decision. Come, meet us. Let's have a conversation. Let's encourage each other on this walk. Amen? So, hey, City Coast Church, thank you for letting me take your time this morning. I hope we've had some fun, all your pineapple and pizza loving people. We're going to go out praising God. So I'm going to hand it back to the team. Let's have some fun.
Almighty Steve, we're going to praise him. Here we go.